بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. As the brother mentioned, inshallah, we want to talk about the descriptions of the Ibad al-Rahman, which is found in the last part of Surah Al-Furqan. It starts at verse 63 and it ends, I believe, with verse 77. And there's always much discussion about who are the servants of Allah, who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself describes the true descriptions of the Ibad al-Rahman. And no doubt this is a very important, or these are very important verses, and they're read quite often in the prayers, because it's amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, is telling us who are the true worshipers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in these few verses, and it's very hard to do it justice within 40 minutes or so, even within a couple hours, it's very hard to do it justice. But if you try to focus, and even when you go home, inshallah, go through books of tafsir and read it yourself, you'll find unbelievable amount of guidance in these verses. And we can use these verses as a checklist. And we always create a checklist when we want to know what are we doing right or what we are not doing right. And we always are evaluating ourselves. We just came from the month of Ramadan, which is a month in which we evaluate ourselves. And as we know, the scholar said, what you do after the month of Ramadan is actually as important or more important than what you do inside the month of Ramadan. Because if you are different, then inshallah the month of Ramadan proved beneficial. But if you're the same person, you come out Ramadan and you're still the same Ali or still the same Fatima, then the month of Ramadan, perhaps we fear that it may not even be accepted, meaning truly accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I really do request that we use these verses as a checklist. And this is the part of knowledge that we have somewhat forgotten, and that is that we've forgotten the application or the implementation of knowledge. And some of the scholars used to say that knowledge is only that which you apply. So if you do not apply it, it is as if you don't know it, as if you're ignorant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the Ibad al-Rahman, the servants of al-Rahman, with descriptions in a very beautiful way. He's saying what they do and what they don't do. What's amazing is that you'll find the majority of descriptions are what they do not do. The Ibad al-Rahman, they don't do this, they don't do this, and how they respond to certain situations. And before we begin, once again, because this is the most important part, is that not actually hearing it, but the most important part is acting upon it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many of us have heard these verses before. All of us probably have heard these verses before, but this time, let us try to act upon it. Okay, if I'm not doing this, then in order to be a true Ibad al-Rahman, then I need to do this. Or if I'm doing this and I shouldn't be, then let me stop. And I always like to say that education, one of the greatest tools that the Prophet ﷺ used was repetition. He would repeat things often, and repetition is a good source of, or a good tool of education. So what we're going to say is simply things that you've heard before, but inshallah, this time we will act upon it. And you'll find that many of the stories of people who have repented and who have become upright, is it by something new that they heard? Most of the time, it's not something new that they heard. It's just the way. Or it's just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed at that time when he heard it, it could have been for the 100th time or what have you, then it clicked. So repetition is a good thing. And before we begin also, perhaps it's important to tell you or to mentioned that one of the great things that these people have, meaning these servants of Ar-Rahman, is that you see clearly from the very beginning that these people are focused on their greatest mission. That these people, the Ibad Rahman, are thinking about paradise. Their ultimate goal and their target is paradise. And that should be ours. And it's amazing that the majority of people on the face of this earth, the majority of people believe in paradise, believer or disbeliever. But few are those who think about paradise daily and daydream or think about it. I mean, and we fantasize about amusement parks, about television shows, about a lot of different things, but how many times do we actually fantasize about the land of fantasy? But the Ibad Rahman, they are always constantly focused. And similar to what Sheikh Abdul Bari mentioned, is that those du'as that they say and those adhkars that they say when they enter their cars and when they remove their clothing and when they put on their clothing, when they step into the bathroom, they're just not saying it. They are reflecting upon the meaning. So there are people who live to die and not live to live. And what I mean by this is a very important statement, because this is a very true statement, a very important statement. If you find that you are living to live, then there is a problem. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ told us that be in this world as if you are a stranger or you passing by. So a passerby or a stranger, he's not, for example, I'm here in Atlanta, I'm not going to be asking, what does the apartment go for in this area? Or I'm not going to be asking these types of questions because I know, inshallah, tomorrow night or tomorrow evening, I'll be leaving. This is the way that we look at this dunya. And if we do so, then inshallah, we will have one of the most vital descriptions or the most important description of the Ibad al-Rahman, and that is that they live for that which comes after life. And no matter what you have in this life, it goes. I mean, like we were just talking about marriage, and that's one of the most exciting topics, of course. And for a lady, the most pleasing thing or the best thing she can have is a pious husband, and vice versa. If you were to choose between a car or between a house or between a beautiful pious wife, you would probably choose the wife. At least I hope so. But the point is that even even the wife, her beauty will leave. The car, it will break down. You will have to change the oil. Everything, and no matter who you are, Bill Gates or what have you, you're going to become sick. You're going to lose family members. You're going to die. So, and everyone understands this. This is something said over and over again. Everyone knows that they're going to die, but most people do not live for what's after death. Everyone wants paradise, but you find most or the majority of people not living for what comes after death, what they're living for now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins, or let me just finish by saying that, so that one of the greatest theme, and this is to keep in mind, that these Ibad Rahman, they are focused on the hereafter. And with saying that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنُ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, and the slaves of the most beneficent are those who walk on the earth in humility and sedateness. It's amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the first description of the Ibad al-Rahman with humility. I mean, most people wouldn't think that. I mean, this is not a trait or a description that most people would praise somebody by. But no doubt, this is a trait or a description that if we have it, inshallah, the other things will be very easy. And through studying the history of the Muslims and the history of the Khulafa, you will truly see the humility of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, and Quth Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu, and so forth. And they had status. They had, they were companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had money. meaning that when I say money, I mean at that time the Persian Empire was being was beginning to fall at the hands of the Muslims and the Roman empires, the biggest empires during those period of time. And in them, of course, was unimaginable beauty to them. But even though they had all of these things, you'll find that they're very humble. It was said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he had delegations come to him during the year of delegation, and when they would come to Medina to give the bay'ah or to accept Islam, sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be pointed out to him, to them, because of the humility. He was just like anyone else. And there's, of course, many stories of Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that we're all familiar with, such as when Umar radiallahu anhu was going to take the keys of Jerusalem, and he went with a servant. He could have went with a whole caravan with all these camels and people and guards and what have you, but he went, and on top of that, he went, and when he entered the city, he had one camel, and when he entered the city, the servant was riding, and he was walking. So this quality, I mean, this is just one of the many, many examples of the humility of not only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but of his companion. And this is, of course, absent in most people, and unfortunately, even many Muslims. And sometimes we're not even humble. We don't have humility, or we're arrogant about things that we shouldn't really be boastful about, such as family, lineage, money, or what have you. So this is a quality that we should concentrate more on. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began by describing the ibad al-Rahman by, they are people who are humble. They walk with humility. They don't walk showing off their latest, you know, watch or their nice jacket or what have you. You find that, especially now since this world become more material, it's very easy to fall into that category. I was just mentioning to a brother yesterday that if one of us was a multimillionaire, it would definitely be a test. I mean, something I can't even dream about. It's so far away from me. But people would create a fitna for me, even if I knew I'm the same Jassy. But just because I'm a multimillionaire, people would treat me much differently. Oh, come on in, sir. Well, what would you like? They would think that I'm better than most people just because I have just because of money. So it will be hard. And no doubt, and we see this throughout the world, for me to humble myself. And I will end with this by making this point. And during, after the battle of Qadisiyah, when the news was reaching Umar radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa at the time, the one carrying the message, didn't know that it was Umar. He had passed by Umar radiallahu anhu and was going to inside Medina to deliver the message to the Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu. So he passed by Umar. Umar was asking him, so what was the outcome? Did we win, or what's the outcome? So he was saying, al-fath, al-fath, we won, victory, victory. So he was going inside the city in Medina looking for Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he didn't know that he had passed Umar ibn Khattab. And they just defeated a people who praised and worshipped material things. And if you read about, and that was the Persian, you read about their dynasty, well over 1,000 years. And literally, things that the companions couldn't even imagine. It couldn't come to their mind. That's how much wealth they had. But the point is that that definitely wasn't the case during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Yazdajar, the Persian king, you would know him from a distance. Even here in Atlanta, I'm sure if I was to see the mayor, I would know who the mayor is. I don't know how he looks, but if I would see him, I would know who he is. Of any city, if you were to come to Memphis, you don't know the mayor, but I'm sure if were you to pass by him, you would know who he is. Because of, I mean, I don't want to say because of lack of humility, but the Muslims, they definitely had this humility. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins, and he continues by saying, and when the foolish address them or speak harshly to them using bad words, they reply back with mild words or of gentleness. So this is also one of the first qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of the Ibad Rahman, that they are people that they do not engage to foolish people. And this is a very, and many of you, if you've ever been insulted, this is a very difficult thing to keep away from.